Talk to my friend Drew
Allen. I'll tell you what, he's a tough guy.
A millennial conservative.
I've become a big fan of your writing.
One of the great young thinkers of our time.
Appreciate his opinion.
Conservative
Drew Allen.
As die-hard conservative
to this guy for wisdom.
Greetings, truth seekers, liberty lovers, all across the world, from Norway to Germany to Canada, and across the United States. This is Drew Allen, your millennial minister of truth, reporting for duty, relatively urgently. I'm just doing the show solo tonight, it's just me, and the reason I'm here, obviously besides wanting to do the show anyway, is I feel it's very important to address what's happening with illegal immigration in the United States. That is illegal immigration. A lot of people were asking me, I saw these concerns out there because you seem to have had the Supreme Court rule that Texas could enforce SB4, that is arrest criminal illegals and deport them even. And then hours later, it seemed that an appeals court reversed the decision made by the Supreme Court. And if the Supreme Court is to be the supreme law of the land, right, the highest court in the land, the final say in the matter, how is it that a lower court could then overturn something that was determined in a final manner by the Supreme Court? Well, that's not exactly what happened. The Supreme Court did not rule on this. They were not overturned by a lower court. I'm going to explain everything to you tonight here, this Wednesday night. This urgent issue that brings me behind this microphone to address my family out there in Drew Nation and go through this issue with you. But, you know, there's a few things that I need to say that are kind of on a macro level to break down this issue and why it matters. And the first thing I want to say to you is something that if you've read my book, you understand. If you've been listening to me to any amount of time, if you've heard me on radio or TV talk about these issues, one of the things that I have tried diligently to impress upon anyone who will listen in this country is that we are living in a momentous period in American history. All of us are a part of it. And what I urge people to do is to just have an activist mind. That is to instill in you some desire, some urgent need, not to sit here voyeuristically and just watch things happen in this country, because you and I are living in a period that will be in the future when history books are written about this moment. People will look back on this moment in American history with the same importance that we look back at what the Founding Fathers did, with the same importance and admiration that we look back at Abraham Lincoln in the period of the Civil War. That's how serious this moment is in American history. It's up there with what you've seen in ancient Rome, what you've seen in other periods in history that you look back and say, oh my goodness, what would it be like to have lived at that time? That was so important, a critical juncture in American history, in world history, in mankind's history, and that's what's happening today. All these decisions that are happening, the Supreme Court is being tasked with a very difficult task, to be sure. They're being tested like they haven't been tested in a very long time. And again, just accept and recognize that you are part of history right now. What is done today is in a very serious way going to determine the future of this country and the world, I have to say, because the United States is that important in the world. So let me break down this SB4 fiasco. The appeals court didn't overrule the Supreme Court. That's not what happened. The Supreme Court basically deferred to the appeals court. Now, the Supreme Court said that this law, SB4, that gives Texas police and so on and so forth the ability to arrest illegals and deport them, well, the Supreme Court said, okay, well, that law can go into effect. Texas can do that until the Fifth Circuit says otherwise. So the Supreme Court basically said, because the Fifth Circuit, which is based out of New Orleans, they hadn't actually made a ruling themselves yet, a definitive ruling on this. What you're talking about here are a lot of courts kicking the can down the road, kicking it here and there, allowing these odd processes to take place before actually rendering a decision. So decisions have not been rendered still. Now, I have to backtrack for a minute and just point out that if you read CNN, or if you read the typical drive-by media, describe what's going on, they act like the Texas law is controversial. The most controversial thing here is what Texas is doing. And they've got it A-double-S backwards. The controversy, the real controversy, is the fact that we have a treasonous government that is violating the Constitution. We have a federal government that is not doing what it is tasked with doing. On the contrary, they are facilitating an illegal invasion of the United States, which is violating these border states' rights and their sovereignty. It's the federal government's job to protect the border, to prevent illegal immigration. We have Border Patrol to facilitate legal immigration and legal passing through the border and back. And what we're experiencing at this critical juncture in American history is something that in many ways is unprecedented. We have a federal government that is in complete violation of the Constitution. Now, it's not just the border issue, but that's what we're going to focus on right now. It's other issues too. You know, Joe Biden coming out and saying, okay, we're going to make sure that everyone has to make electric vehicles by 2032, 2033. We're going to ban. They cannot do this. They do not have the authority to do this, but they're doing it anyway. And this is why we're in this perilous time and situation, because we have things happening today that were unthinkable to the founding fathers. Now, in one sense, tyranny, the resurgence of tyranny that they feared, that they did everything in their power to try and prevent from taking place, that they could plan for. And that's why we have guns. You know, I don't mean to scare people out there, but at the end of the day, if we have a tyrannical government that is going to rule over us, if we get to that point, God forbid, the Declaration of Independence tells us what to do. It's our right to exchange this government with another one. But we're not there, and we're not talking about that right now. But the founding fathers understood that, and that's why we have a Second Amendment. That's why that exists. That's why they wrote the Declaration, which is not just for their time at that moment. It was a document that describes what Americans are to do in the future, too, should that happen. It's not a one-time thing, the Declaration of Independence. And so we have a Constitution. And the problem is, there aren't a lot of measures to deal with these tyrants that are spelled out. So obviously, there's an impeachment clause, so you can theoretically impeach a president. You can impeach Mayorkas and so on and so forth. But that's not even going to happen right now because Republicans are too cowardly. And even if they had the guts in the House to push forward and do these things, we don't have the Senate, and there aren't even Republicans in the Senate who would be willing to do it because they have thrown in with the tyrants. So here we are in American history, and the unthinkable is happening. The unthinkable, and that is the federal government is in violation of the Constitution, and they're facilitating illegal immigration. Now, the entire argument around this that is being made by the left, that the leftist courts and the Democrats are leaning on, is something called the Supremacy Clause. Now, I will read to you the Supremacy Clause, which says, "The Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made of which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding." Now, to understand the Constitution, you have to understand what came before the Constitution. And that was the Articles of Confederation, which were largely and accurately, I think, could be described as a failure. They were certainly viewed as a failure back then. Now, we had Articles of Confederation throughout the American Revolution, and it led to bankruptcy. It led to nearly losing the American Revolution because soldiers weren't getting paid. All the individual colonies, if you will, were all in their own world, doing their own thing, and we had no unity. And when it comes to war, you need a centralized government. And so the problem was, that was the thing that the founding fathers feared the most. They feared a strong central government. But Washington and others argued that it was absolutely necessary for the survival of a country to prevent us from being invaded, for example. And so they had a rigorous debate about how to balance the power, right? Okay, we do need a strong centralized government, but not too strong. So you had the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists. The Federalists believed in states' rights, state sovereignty. And so the Constitution enumerated very specific powers for the federal government. That was what they sought to do. And anything not enumerated in the Constitution for the federal government should be left to the states. But of course, what we have is a perversion of the Constitution today. We have a federal government which has usurped power that it does not have. So we have a situation now where the federal government is not doing its duty. So the Supremacy Clause they keep bringing up isn't applicable here. Because it's not that the state of Texas is trying to do something that is, one, going to threaten national security or is going to take away a job from the federal government. The problem is the federal government's not doing its job. So what do you do in a situation in the United States when the federal government not only doesn't do its job, but does the opposite? So if you want to argue that it's the federal government's job to set immigration laws, well, you have a federal government right now that is not enforcing those immigration laws. So what are we supposed to do as a country? If the federal government reneges on its responsibilities and duties, and in fact does the opposite, intentionally harms the United States, violates its constitutional oath, and becomes an enemy of the people, which is what it is doing by facilitating an illegal immigration, right? Your job is secure the border. You are intentionally making the border not secure. You are intentionally not preventing illegal immigration. You are facilitating illegal immigration. So in light of this, Texas, what are they supposed to do? Sit there when the federal government is actually becoming a threat to national security and they can't do anything because it's the federal government's job? Well, the federal government's not doing the job. So you can take your supremacy clause and shove it right up your ASS. That's how I feel about the supremacy clause. Don't talk about the supremacy clause. You're in violation of the Constitution. We're not called, we're not required to sit here and be sitting ducks when a federal government decides to become an enemy of the American people, an enemy of Texas, and declare war on Texas and say, we are going to open up your border and tie your hands, and we're going to shove these illegals right down your throat. We're going to threaten Texas. We're going to harm the citizens of Texas, the residents of Texas, and the rest of the country, because we are actually going to throw in like an enemy nation and invade you. So when you have a federal government that is facilitating an illegal invasion, because the enumerated power of the federal government is what? Raise a national army, currency, things like this. Not that many things, very specific things. So for example, what if the federal government, who's tasked with raising an army, maintaining a standing army to defend the United States, what if they decide just not to have an army? That's their job. Or the rest of the states just supposed to say, okay, well, China, come on and invade us. The federal government decided they're not going to raise a standing army anymore. Is that the Supremacy Clause? No, the Supremacy Clause does not grant the federal government the authority to eliminate a border. So this is the conversation that they're trying to have about the Supremacy Clause. But the issue here is, what is our recourse if the federal government refuses to do its job? The problem isn't Texas is doing the federal government's job. Why is Texas forced to do the federal government's job? They want to act like Texas is controversial. Texas is in a position where it is being forced to do the role the federal government refuses to do. But it's worse than that because they're effectively at war with the federal government, because the federal government's not just doing a poor job, not enforcing, they're actually allowing this to happen. Making this happen. So this is what's going on. Now, I want to break down what happened here, and then I'll talk a little bit more about, you know, our system of government and where we go from here. But back in December, you had Governor Greg Abbott, right, and the governor of Texas, who signed this SB4 bill into law. And it didn't go into effect immediately, but this SB4 bill allows Texas to detain and arrest these illegal immigrants. And isn't it amazing that this is controversial? So naturally, the Biden administration, which is a treasonous administration, again, unprecedented in U.S. history, what's happening here. We literally have a federal government that is not only violating the Constitution, but has declared war on the people it's supposed to protect. So Texas is allowing its local state and police to arrest these illegals. And so naturally, the Biden administration, which wants an open border and wants to destroy America, well, they sued Texas. And it wasn't just the Biden administration, it's these illegal immigrant advocacy groups around the country, right? Funded by Democrats. So they all brought these suits because they want an open border. And they cannot have Texas secure the border. So they bring up the Supremacy Clause. This is the federal government's territory. You can't come in here. So again, shove it up your you-know-what. So on February 29th, you had this federal judge in, surprise, surprise, Austin, Texas, that halted the law. He stayed the order. So when you hear stayed the order, it means you prevent the law from going into effect temporarily. It's a stay. So it was supposed to go into effect on a Tuesday at the end of February, and this Austin judge named David Ezra, well, he issued the preliminary injunction. And so basically he prevented it from being enforced while it was being litigated. So he said, nah, there's all these lawsuits coming. So while we are conducting lawfare to keep the border open permanently, you can't even enforce this. So while you're in limbo waiting for the courts to decide, he's saying, I mean, it's amazing, right? Instead of them being able to enforce this while they took this to court, this judge, of course, files this injunction and says, no, you can't enact this while we decide the fate of this law. So anyway, it's being litigated and they, you know, okay, well, you can't do anything about it. So then what happens? So then the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which, as I was saying, is based in New Orleans, well, actually, it overruled David Ezra. And it said that the bill, SB4, could actually go into effect. But it wasn't an official ruling. It was another temporary thing. Because then the appeals court basically, I mean, it's kind of odd what happened, because the appeals court there that I said overruled David Ezra and said that this law could go into effect, well, they gave the Biden administration 7 days to appeal it to the Supreme Court. So actually, even though they rescinded the stay, they also put a stay on it, effectively saying, well, you know, you can't do anything. We're going to give the Biden administration 7 days, however, to appeal this to the Supreme Court. So it still didn't go into effect. So this is in March, and the Supreme Court accepted the Biden administration's appeal. And the Supreme Court kept a hold on the enforcement. So still, this is not allowed to go into effect. Now, so weeks are going by and we're waiting to get to the date the Supreme Court's going to make the decision. And the Supreme Court, what happened on Wednesday? Well, they decided, well, okay, we're going to actually lift the stay. So they announced that Texas could actually enforce the law pending the appeals court. So they sent it back to the Fifth Circuit of Appeals, right? The Fifth Circuit, you see how this is working? You've got David Ezra coming in saying, I'm putting a stay on this order until it's litigated. Well, it goes to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. And the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals says, okay, well, we're going to rescind the stay, but we're also going to keep a stay for 7 days because it's going to go to the Supreme Court and we'll let the Supreme Court decide. And then it goes to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court says, okay, we're going to put it back down to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. It's almost like nobody wants to make a decision. Everyone's trying to avoid being a part of history. Everyone's trying to avoid responsibility. Everyone's trying to avoid saving the country. And, you know, I don't blame the Supreme Court from the perspective of not wanting to, you know, go out of order, right? I mean, you know, you should appeal to the Supreme Court as kind of your last resort. But, you know, because there's such an urgency today to either try and save the country or destroy the country, depending on if you're on the left or the right in these lawfare tactics, well, there's all these urgent requests to skip the line and go to the Supreme Court. So anyway, so now we're back at the Fifth Circuit. And what's amazing about the Fifth Circuit this time, last time, right, it was the Fifth Circuit before the Supreme Court. They said, you know, I mean, kind of superficially, they overruled David Ezra and said it could go into effect. And now the same court that just got it back is now staying the order again while they deliberate. So now the Fifth Circuit of Court of Appeals is actually going to make a decision on this. So ultimately, this is going to end up back in the Supreme Court anyway. I've never seen so many people, whether it's judges and so on and so forth, I've never seen so many people just, I mean, do this kind of behavior, kick the can down the road, if you will. But this panel flipped on this decision, and they're basically overturning their own previous ruling. And what I want to point out again is that this case does not address the real issue. Because the issue is, if the federal government does not do its job, can the state do it? Because the job has to be done. It's about American national security. So the job itself, in my opinion, is what is supreme. The job has to be done. And I don't care if the federal government is not going to do the job, or frankly, they're going to do the opposite of the job. Well, somebody has to do the job, do they not? Or are we just supposed to sit here because the federal government is the federal government and they have the supremacy? If they decide not to enforce immigration laws, if they decide to destroy the country, states can't step in and do the job? No, our national security comes first, and that's what we have to address here. I don't know. I mean, there's going to be precedent that's set. I am not a constitutional lawyer. I understand the Constitution. I know what I'm talking about here. I'm not spewing BS. Everything I'm saying is accurate. But my point is, in pointing out that I'm not a constitutional lawyer, is that I don't have a compendium of knowledge in my brain. I haven't studied every court case, Supreme Court case in American history. So I don't know if we've been tested like this before in this situation. Now, I know that the Supreme Court has issued terrible decisions in the past, Roe v. Wade being one of them, but Dred Scott, these cases where they ruled, you know, well, blacks are not actually human beings, and so they don't have rights. Like, that was not a constitutional ruling. Roe v. Wade, abortion's not in the Constitution. You can love your abortions like Joe Biden likes ice cream. It doesn't matter. It's not a constitutional right. But you had a corrupt, and this gets to the heart of the issue. Amoral men are not going to be subject to the limitations in the Constitution. There is no law that can prevent that. I mean, you have laws that say don't murder, and you have people murdering, right? So it's this evil that is pervasive in American society today that is coming to a climax. But this is the discussion that needs to be pushed in the public, and I hope you'll help me do it and help the country do it. Because if we want to talk supremacy clause, we need to talk about the fact that our national security actually has supremacy. And so if the federal government is not going to do its job, somebody else has to do it. And if Texas is going to do it, that has to happen. We cannot be sitting ducks because of a corrupt federal government that is actually an enemy of the American people, a domestic enemy. We cannot have that. We cannot tolerate it. But I just want to explain a few things. You know, the founding fathers, they greatly debated the pros and cons of this centralized government. Because, some form of centralized government, as I was saying, it was absolutely necessary. It's true. I mean, if you were attacked by an enemy nation, and we were very vulnerable back then because we were a new country and we were not very strong, and we were in debt. So this is why we got to the point we are. But so we had the Articles of Confederation, which were very loose, basically a free-for-all. Every state was just making its own decisions, and we were just very loosely a country. And then we moved to a constitution. And so, you know, in the beginning, we chose this confederation out of fear of becoming like Great Britain. So in that system that failed us, the states really delegated power to the central government. So states were printing their own money, for example. I mean, you can't have 13 different currencies. You know what I mean? It's just those types of things. You have to have a centralized government that sets the tone for everybody. So it's just a reality. So they tried that and it failed. And so they sought to find a middle way, a balance. And this was what was called federalism. And so one of the things they did, obviously, was the separation between the three branches of government, separate but equal. You have the executive, you have the legislative, Congress, and you have the judiciary, the judges, the Supreme Court. And they're supposed to keep each other balanced, in check. And then another thing we have, though, is the ability of states to pass their own laws. But with regard to the national interest, the federal government, this is where you get the Supremacy Clause again, can supersede the states. And so in order to appease people who feared a strong, abusive, centralized government, the Constitution does what? It limits the federal government by enumerating those powers, delegating powers specifically to the federal government. And any powers not enumerated are left to the states. So, for example, the abortion issue, that is not a federal, enumerated power. So that's why it's up to states to determine their own abortion laws. It's very simple, or it should be. So the federal government, what? They can declare war, they can maintain an army, they can regulate commerce, and they can print money. And so again, we get to this point where the issue is, what do we do if the federal government doesn't fulfill its enumerated responsibilities? That's the problem now. And if this is not figured out, if this is not addressed, we are in very, very deep trouble. So it is the Biden administration that is really threatening our Constitution right now by pursuing this destructive path, this unconstitutional path, and daring the American people, daring us to challenge them, daring us to exert our authority over the almighty federal government, which is how they view themselves. So that's where we are, and that's the issue that I wanted to bring to your attention. And that's why this is such a frightening issue in so many ways, because, again, it's very much unprecedented. And the Supreme Court is facing a lot of pressure right now with the lawfare against Trump, trying to force them to intervene and make decisions. And I'm very, very worried. And we better pray hard. I'm serious. Pray for these justices. Because they have a Herculean task. And if when the Supreme Court fails and when they get it wrong, history tells us, even in the history that we've so far enjoyed as a nation, it tells us what's in store for us. It was the Supreme Court's terrible decision in Dred Scott that lit the fuse for the Civil War. So this is what is at stake. You know, if the Supreme Court and these courts get this wrong, if the Biden administration keeps pushing this like they're doing it, how they react, I mean, this nation is a powder keg right now. It just is. And it's not because of the law-abiding American citizens. It's not because of Texas trying to enforce immigration laws at the border. It is because we have a totalitarian administrative state, a centralized government that is abusive, and it is they who are threatening the fabric of America right now. And so that's why I say we're living through a momentous time in American history, and Texas you know, and Abbott, I mean, I'm right there with him because they're not in the wrong. They're in the right. This federal government has no right to facilitate illegal immigration and destroy the country. They are traitors. But the issue is, short of elections, right, coming up in 2024, that's why this is so important as well, the election, what recourse do we have if they just say, screw you, we're going to keep doing this? So anyway, that's all I had time to share with you today, about 30 minutes or so. But this is Drew Allen, your Millennial Minister of Truth. I'll be back probably tomorrow to update you with other important information. I want to talk about this hearing that took place in Congress, you know, Biden there, Hunter Biden didn't show up. This is the public hearing he demanded happened, and then he skipped out on it. So you don't want to miss that. I'll get into that and some other things going on in the country tomorrow. But God bless you all. This is Drew Allen. And until
talk
next
to my
time.
Friend Drew Allen.
And I'll tell you what, he's a tough guy.
A millennial conservative.
I've become a big fan of
one
your writing.
One of the great young thinkers of our time.
Appreciate his opinion.
Conservative
Drew Allen.
Has Drew died Allen. Hard conservative.
I look to this guy for wisdom.